Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Museum of the Moving Image. I'm Carl Goodman. I'm the museum's executive director. People are really sick of me talking before these screenings, so we thought when I heard that people I work with were so excited about this event, this film, these performers, I asked one of them to actually introduce the program. So here is Andrea Bouncil, our manager of school and community programs.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to the Museum of the Moving Image. As Carl said, I'm Andrea Bouncil. I'm the manager of school and community programs here at the museum. And I work with visitors of all ages, from elementary school students to senior citizens. And we serve 65,000 students every year and provide a variety of tours and after-school animation classes, as well as summer media camp. Our education department also offers professional development for New York City teachers, programming for families, and classes for community organizations, giving each person the tools to better engage with the media around them. I hope you'll come back to see the rest of the museum, our blockbuster Jim Henson exhibition, as well as our incredible variety of film programs, such as our Festival of International Films, First Look, which starts this Friday with films from Korea, China, Taiwan, and many other countries. To become a member, please visit movingimage.us/membership. When I was asked to speak tonight, I thought about growing up as a Filipino-American, looking for my face in movies and television, unable to find that representation for years. I am so glad that we have a movie like Crazy Rich Asians and that we have storytellers like our guests Michelle Yeoh and Ang Lee. Thank you for coming tonight. It is now a great pleasure to introduce the co-president of Sony Picture Classics and the co-chair of the Board of Trustees of the Museum of the Moving Image, Michael Barker. Thank you.
How is everybody today?
All
right. Yeah. This is a great evening. It's going to be a great evening. First of all, there are two people we have to thank deeply for this event. The first is the board member and the great Warrington Hudlin. And especially another board member who has really pivotal to putting this all together, and that is Helen Lee. Last night I saw Michelle Yeoh at the Golden Globes, and here we are in Queens. You know, we're really tired. The people that I'm about to bring out are two people that have created, they were involved in a film that caused such a cultural change. It's probably the most, you know, it's certainly the most successful film I will ever be involved with in my lifetime. But to talk about Michelle first, I remember the first time I saw Michelle on the screen, and it was in the James Bond movie. And I remember when we saw that, it was very different from all other females that we ever saw with James Bond. And the reason it was different was that she was James Bond's equal. And physically, physical strength in fighting, definitely superior. There was no question. She has a strength in all of her performances that is very empowering. Not only does she have that physical agility and the physical beauty that's unparalleled, but she has this kind of emotional strength and this logical strength. Someone that's very self-possessed and has an intelligence and logic that is just awesome. And I remember when Ang Lee planned Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, she was the only actress he thought about for that role. And when that movie was released, one of the most incredible things about that movie and one of the keys to its massive success was here was a film about the empowerment of women. And I had two daughters. My daughters at the time, one was 13 and one was 17. And boy, did they respond to her as not only someone who is successful on all levels, not only as someone who is a mentor, but someone they could see on the screen and be proud of and be so impressed with. And you see all of her roles. In Crazy Rich Asians, it's all there. She has an intelligence. You know, last night at the Golden Globes, I was thinking actually about Glenn Close and The Wife, and one of the keys to that performance is something that Michelle has, which is when she's on the screen, when her face is on the screen, and she's not saying a word, we are looking at her face. When everybody else is talking, we are looking at her because she has a presence, and you know she's thinking, and you want to know what she's thinking, and she communicates what she's thinking. So on top of that, she's a great actress. And that doesn't even touch what she's like as a human being. She's one of the warmest people I have ever known. And last week when Helen and Warrington, or a couple weeks ago, said, wouldn't it be great to get Ang Lee to come and just have a conversation with Michelle Yeoh? And they thought this was impossible. Well, I just got on the phone. I called David. I spoke to David, who is Aang's assistant, and the answer came back in about 5 minutes. Of course, I will be there, just so we talk about her and not about me. I don't know really what to say about Ang Lee. He is one of our great directors. He is one of the world's greatest directors. And what is so awesome about Crouching Tiger and so many of his movies is they speak a universal language. It doesn't matter what language they're in. They cross all cultures in the audience understanding those films. And there's a reason, actually two reasons, and two of them are here. Two reasons Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is by far the most successful foreign language film in film history. I mean, nothing even comes. And I think the closest film to it is about a third of what it did. It worked on all levels, and it's because of these two people that I'm going to bring out, and that is Ang Lee and the great Michelle Yeoh. So here they are, Michelle Yeoh and Ang Lee.
Thank you, Michael, for your generous introduction. I have to add, I'm a Queens guy. Established here, I'm a Mets fan. Asian new immigrants, I'm a Queens guy. But I want to make one thing clear. You know, I don't do this very often. Usually, we're talking about me. Tonight, we're not talking about me. Michelle, I try to do my best. So, Michelle, let me start with your first movie. Michael was right. When I brewed in an idea of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon before I haven't written the script, I had her in mind. I've been watching her movie for a long time, and I thought, this actress, this woman, I'll say this woman because just the way she is, because we remember her fighting scenes, but her disposition, just the way she is, she carries the movie. She carries all the duties, all the burdens, and your heart just races for her. And it's like all her life she's preparing for this role. In my mind, I have to get her. Then we met. I remember the very first thing we met is, which I want to talk about, is how'd you get into the martial art world? I remember she told me she was a ballet dancer. She was in England training as a ballerina, and she hurt her knee. She couldn't do ballet dancing anymore, and she moved on to work on martial art film with Jackie Chan. I thought that was pretty crazy. And I remember the first thing, one of the first things she told me was that famous scene, she ride a bike, land on a moving train, on the, what do you call those fruits, super the spiky supercops, Malaysian fruits, and hang on to the edge of the train. And she never rode a bike before. So they asked her, do you know how to ride a motorcycle? She said, no, I never. But do you ride a bike? She said, I ride a bike. So that, then we have to hold on and start. So they start the bike and holding to the accelerator. And she said, hold on like this. And the train comes. They just set her go. That's how they do it. So I was like, this woman has guts. And I have to work with her. Just tell us some about your early memory of how you get into business, from ballerina to, I'm sure it's pretty disappointing that you cannot be dancing ballets.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you, Michael, for that lovely introduction. Where is Michael hiding now? Thank you. That was so kind of you to introduce, and gosh, we go back a long time now. And thank you for getting this man. I remember looking at him and go, is that Ang Lee I see on the I couldn't believe it, because he normally doesn't do this. I know, so I'm very, very grateful. It's the other way around. People are always asking him questions, and I'm always in awe of this one. It's like when he walks in the room, it's like, we are not worthy. Oh, seriously. The first time I met him, I will never forget. And at that time, I had just finished Tomorrow Never Dies. And he said, oh, you're now a big movie star. Would you consider doing a movie? Do you remember that? You said that to me?
A Chinese movie.
Yeah, a Chinese movie. I almost fell off my chair. There's Ang Lee, who did Sense and Sensibility, Ice Storm, sitting across me saying, you know, would you please do my movie? It was like, I waited 2 years. I didn't do anything after Tomorrow Never Dies until I did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Right?
Thank you.
No, don't thank me. Thank you for that opportunity.
There are people in that movie that steal the show. But you're there to carry the movie, that movie. It's on your shoulder.
Thank you. God, coming from the master. I remember at that time, I'm going to jump around, all right? Not starting from the beginning of my career. But when I was doing Crouching Tiger, I remember we went for training and all that. And the first day, Master Yun Wo Ping, who was the stunt coordinator, he walks onto the set and he goes, what are you doing here? I said, I'm training with the cast. He says, go home. No need to train. I'm like, why? Because he's so used to me. I've been working with him for many years prior to that. And he would be like, no, it's okay. When you come on set, you'll be fine. And of course, after the first action sequence, I tore my ACL. After 7 days, nights of
fighting.
Yeah,
the second week.
Yeah.
I was like, and why, God? I'm just trying to make this movie. She's the only one who can actually fight. Yeah. And then it's only the second week, and we still have 5 months to go. Yeah. Like, God, why?
But fortunately,
just want to make a stupid movie. That
just
want to
make
sense.
A movie.
Like, why? But and then we have to send her away to get it fixed.
Yeah, we waited.
Rehab for.
But the script was always
months.
That
we
had
shot without
two major fight sequences with me
with
right
the
at
the
beginning.
She was yeah. humping the whole time.
Yeah, this guy, I remember. Someone saying to me, is Ang always so fierce? And I'm like, if he doesn't say anything to you, that means you did a good job. Don't expect him to say, oh, that, because in Hollywood, you're very used to directors say, oh my God, that was so brilliant. That's wonderful. Can we do another take? We're like, brilliant, wonderful. Why are we doing another take? And this one, no, straight to the point.
Because in the Chinese film industry, I can. That's why. when I direct English language film, my vocabulary is very small. If that is good, what am I going to say when you're really good?
Yeah. But it's much better as an actor, then you really get it. Otherwise, you know, you're sort of going, I'm so confused. That was really good, but you want another one. Okay, and then another one. But where are we going with this? So it was a real joy, not just working with Aang, but learning from Aang. I used to follow him around like a puppy dog. Even when you were
I didn't notice that.
When you filmed at the I wasn't in the movie at that point when you were filming in the desert.
That's right. In the Xinjiang territory, it's not even a province. The area is six times the size of Japan. It's a huge desert area.
Yeah.
And that was the flashback where the other actress,
and
she insists to be there just to watch.
Yeah, and you learn so much when you watch. That's the best way. And to learn from the master, it was like just a privilege to be able to be there all the time.
Now what
were
you thinking?
19 years ago, my God. But we still look great, right?
Still standing. Now, what were you thinking those 2 months when you have to fix your knees? And
I was just concentrated on getting well.
I could feel it.
You know what?
Come
really
back, the pain I see, just the way you hold yourself, that just break my heart.
Aww.
I'm going to tell a story later, but what's in your mind?
And I remember when I was in Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and we did the MRI, and the specialist said, oh, it's not torn, it's completely gone. It's not even like a little tear. So I said, I'm in the middle of a movie, what are my options? But know that I'm doing an action film, not just the, you know, sitting around drinking tea kind of movie. What I was really reassured was, he said, I operate on football players, professional football players. But as long as they are determined to go through a very painful rehabilitation for the knee, I can get you back in shape in 2.5 months. But it is torture during that time. So then I remember calling Aang and Bill Kong.
And the producer, yeah.
I had to tell them, I'm sorry, the truth is, if I don't have the operation, I can't walk properly. I definitely no running, definitely nothing. Just the whole movie, I'll be just sitting down, basically. And I said, well, we've only shot for a week, my scene. Right, really just that fight sequence, you know, around the wall. That was an incredible fight sequence. That was one of my most spectacular fight sequences. And I would understand if you need to change your actor, because, you know, you still have, what, 4 more months to go?
Yeah, it just began, so.
You just started, like,
just
really
starting
literally.
Just filming you.
Yeah. And I was so touched, because this one here said, I'm waiting for you.
A reasonable film crew will, or producer will change.
Say, yeah. That would be the most logical and sensible thing for Michael. You were not there, thank God. Otherwise, he would say, change her! We have to watch the money. We're already very, very tight. And they said, do whatever it takes. We're waiting for you. And you did.
So we started out doing scenes, not fighting scenes. The fighting scenes still like another 2 months before she can even move. So we're doing scenes that sedentary, like she sits there, not even walking. So we start shooting this scene when she came back. The most important scene of the whole movie, when Limu Bai died in her arm.
Yeah.
I could feel the pain she's carrying. I can feel it. I can't, but I think I can. Because I've been doing the headache for the 2 months. And try to rearrange everything, the shooting schedule and everything. Everything has to bend backwards. You know, Michelle didn't speak much Mandarin back then.
That's
and she
an
has
understatement.
To carry profound Mandarin, most moving dialogue about philosophy and death and unrequited love. While the beloved one is dying, say, I will be a ghost for a week, but I don't want to be a lonely in the eternity, something like that. Just like it's a woman, tough woman, she'll cry her eyes out. and she was in the most important scene in the movie, just coming back from the rehab, couldn't move the leg. So we put a stool up here. So the whole scene, she's holding Li Mubai, speaking Mandarin, with the leg up here the whole day.
It was kind of comical, actually, if you think about it.
If you watch the whole scene, that wider than this, that's why the shot is in close-up. Because if I go wider, her leg will be here, and a dying Charanfa would be like here, and leg was here.
Good thing I was flexible.
And there is the young... There was the young Zhang Ziyi behind her, talking about the threatening hidden dragon to steal the show. And she is a Mandarin speaker. She's a Beijing native. And she's Malaysian, speak Cantonese, somewhat Cantonese. She has a perform.
He's brutally honest, okay?
And I remember the third take, and it has to be a one-take thing, because the crying scenes. I was very uptight about it. Usually, you have like three, at most four takes. Usually, the first or second, they just too, blah, whatever. They pull their hearts out. It's not even performance. Usually, take three, and by the time they do three, that's like over. And I was afraid when you talk to them, talking about what you're in your mind, they start crying and say, shit, don't cry. Just save that tear. You know, you have to condition them. Like a coach in the game, you don't want to give their best or start feeling things in the practice. You want to do the real game and when they shine. So you got to do all these things that are very helpful, very careful. And I told her, don't eat too much. This is how much, exact how you want to eat for lunch. And this is the afternoon, like a condition the whole day, just like if I see her raise her eyebrows, like, whatever. Like really, really super careful, and she was in pain and everything. Just all that pressure. So it was toward the end of the day when we finally do that take. It was the third take. And after that, I do one more. I know that is not good because it's like she's like a mess. maybe a few moments I could use, and that was the day. And I only experienced twice in my career. The other was Joan Allen in The Ice Storm. That after a shot, I had to go away and cry for 15 minutes. And because people follow me around all day, I have to yell them off, like, leave me the fuck alone. Just like, stop right there, everybody. And I have to lock the door. And I had to cry. Because I can go on. Anybody can tell me about my experience, but I'm trying to talk to her. I only had that experience with the tiger trainer in Life of Pi. And I told him about that experience. He said, I have one experience. Have a little tiger understand me and run with it. One take, go run away from fire, like on the set. He said, after that, I do the same thing. And the two, I thought I was macho with him, with the tiger trainer. It's a Frenchman, and we started to cry. And I said, so you want to exchange someday? She said, no, you stay with the actor, I stay with Tiger. The Tiger is easier. So, Michelle, I kept rallying, but what went through your mind, or it's just empty, you just give it all during that shot? I never asked you that.
Oh, no.
That was one of the most precious moments in my career.
I think what I loved working with Aang was like now he explains to you what he wants from you, and he's very clear about the indications. So you know, so I always knew who my character Yu Xiulian was, you know, the sense of responsibility, where she was coming from, and that requited, unrequited love. And he says, and I most remember at that point, the night before the scene, right, he gave me this whole speech, okay, hold on the emotions, don't cry now, okay? We're just talking about it, just think about it, and tomorrow you can really let it go. So we talked about it, and he says, you know, one of the things is when someone dies, someone leaves you, is that great sense of loss that's from here. And that stayed with me. Because you can't just think of, oh, loss, and then, oh, I'm gonna cry. It doesn't work. That's why once or twice you can do that. But it's, you have to hold on to a real emotion, a real sense of what is loss. And you have to dig deep inside. But that was the key that unlocked everything. whether it was loss of.
You know, I never ask actors what they, sometimes they want to tell me, you know, this is about adultery. I want to keep it to yourself. Don't tell me. Just leave it to yourself. I just want to see the result. So, so sometimes it's to provoke them. Mm-hmm. We don't have specific method. We just try it this way, try it and see what works. So when something that happened, like it once happened with Joan Allen when I did a scene in the ice storm, I feel terribly guilty. I don't know what I said or what whatever
you,
I try.
You shouldn't feel guilty because you have helped us.
I hit the wrong spot and I act like that. And after that, they cannot control. I mean, the case with her is she shivered for an hour. She was like yeah. this. So I didn't know what I...
Because it's a real emotion.
I don't know what hits them what. And I didn't want to know.
No, I think at the end of the day, you must experience a real emotion. And I think that that's what happened. But the biggest sort of like what I felt at that point was like when I finished the scene and and I looked up and you were standing across. You remember we had this pool of water and he was... And I thought, okay, that must have been a pretty good take. I think he's going to say it's okay. Like, that's the best compliment ever, right? That I've been able to make him feel that emotionally as well.
You know, I still ask for one more take after yeah. that.
But that
I know that was the take,
real
but
director,
I was greedy.
Right?
Like, see what happened. Just like...
And your editor would be happy as well, right? You give him another choice.
No, if anybody say, you know, editor say this, that will kill him. Like, we can cut this way or that way, or we can cut to Trevor. I don't want to see the dead Trevor. I want to see her stay there. Well, Yuen He-Ping has the similar experience. There's one fight. You continue for, I remember exactly 11 seconds, nonstop, and everything's good. And I shot the reverse angle on Zhang Ziyi. He got really mad at me. He said, you shoot the other side? It means you're going to intercut?
What's the point of doing such a long take?
Fight, yeah, it's a two fight. You gotta said, do you know how hard that is? It's even hard for like even Jet Li. You get Jackie Chan. It's pretty incredible. It's like, how dare you? Almost, you know, it's great respect for me, so he didn't say how dare you. But I you know, he says some version of that. Do you know how hard that is?
Yeah. Because once you edit away, people will think, oh, okay, they just did two shots, one shot, and, you know, it's easy. But when you see the whole sequence, it is quite a feat.
Yeah. I remember on the Wireworks, when she mentioned about the running along the walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the best one. I was
how big
on top
a Bruce
of
you
the
have
wall.
Seen, all of you. Yeah, you see Bruce this size, Bruce. The Bruce is like this size. I've seen all her. Like, I've never seen... Bruce is that big. It's still purple, and
normally they are that color.
But the size, I was amazed. Like,
because a lot of the times when you hit against the wall when you're on wire, because you're not in control at all, so your whole.
She'll do. I wouldn't know that until we wrap. Yeah. So she's.
It's no point telling you. You still have to do it. That's what something that I learned from my beginning days in Hong Kong. It's like, you know, they always ask, are you okay? Yes, you could be like bleeding from your head, but the first thing that always comes out is like, yeah, okay, okay. No, by now I've been in the business like 30 years. I mean, Supercop was, in the early 90s. And I remember when we dubbed the movie and we came here to promote it. So the people were watching it. And just now when he said, you know, me on the motorcycle, it's true. Someone would hold it. I didn't really know how to stop the bike, and the bike was too high, so my feet were sort of dangling. So someone would just hold the bike, and I go, let go, and I'll... And then if I had to stop before the jump, I would just jump off the bike. I mean, it's kind of easy, right? Yeah, she says. But then, so when we did the dubbing, this is a few years after when it was done for America, I was so happy I already did the film. Because when I look at it now, I go, what was I thinking? Or was I not thinking? It was crazy. It felt painful, dubbing it. And then when we were in America, the people were going, I thought in Hong Kong, you didn't have like the budgets to do green screen and things like that. But the green screen is pretty spectacular, you know, with the train and you guys fighting. And Jackie and I looked at each other, you did green screen? When? Because they did not expect the two of us to be on a moving train doing all that fighting. And it is dangerous.
And I mean, before you know how to ride a bike.
Before I knew how to ride a bike onto a moving train. No.
I was very impressed because in some ways I wish all actors are like that. That's not that different from acting. Most actors, they talk too much. They're thinking too much. They have too much safety nets and too much green screen, so to speak. I wish they could be like, okay, is that, I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah. Let's try it. And it may fall, maybe they'll just go ahead. I wish, and if you fall, let's try it again. Let's see what happened. I won't do that with you, with the action sequence, but I think acting is somewhat like that.
I think you have to be open. I'd like to come in, of course, if I have questions, but I feel that I have to trust my director because really you are the visionary, right? We are one of your tools as well. So I need you
to... Have you worked with directors, you don't trust them?
I wouldn't work with him. I can choose the directors that I work with, right? And I'm very lucky to be able to say that and to be able to do that. So before I go into a film, there must be a very good reason I want to spend time away from my family and be doing other things that I could be enjoying a lot more, that I will be, you know, tied up with a film for a few months and be away from home. So there has to be a very valid reason, you know, with you, with Danny Boyle, with Walt Marshall. So because I feel educated and I feel that I am really achieving and learning in the process. And doing something worth my time. So I haven't worked with the director where I go, I want to slit my wrists right now.
Or having doubt in them.
Yeah. No, I think you have to trust the director because, you know, yes, they could. Yes, I think there was one director that got a little lost while we were filming. He was probably the only one. I'm going to say it, Matthew Kasovitz. Unfortunately, the project was bigger and he thought that he was making an indie film. Whereas there was so much CGI in the movie, there was Vin Diesel, and he just couldn't get a hold. And that was a shame.
But he didn't know most of the time when we did Crouching Tiger, Dragon, I was lost.
Well, I'm glad you didn't tell me then. No, you always spoke to yourself, so I thought that was the norm. Because Jane would say to me, he's like that.
I just look profound and, you know. Sometimes you have this lost kind of a face in your face and people sort of figure out for you it must be something really profound. They didn't know that you're actually lost.
Maybe that's what...
I'm serious because...
That's how you found the way was because you were lost. It was something...
No, I didn't know what I was getting into like halfway into making the movie. I'm not talking Mandarin or Cantonese.
The martial arts, the action side...
Halfway, I just realized, you know, I'm kind of an exquisite kind of filmmaker. I realized doing martial art film is you're supposed to do crappy stuff.
Supposed to be what?
Crappy, like really wild, like you don't care.
Yeah.
It's B movie genre. It's pulpy. I didn't realize that.
They had a formula because they've been doing it for so many years.
No, it's let your wild imagination, your guilty pleasure, just like run wild. And you're supposed, if I'm too exquisite on the way I make
too
movie,
poetic,
all that good stuff, and you wouldn't fly. You know, you wouldn't fight like that. It's unrealistic. It's a highly designed guilty pleasure. You know, it's a designing genre. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be, because the language is like crappy. It's like pulpy. And I was too refined. And then I already owned that role. It's like even our film didn't get that exquisite, you know, the way I do it. Historical correct, it's all the mannerisms and
yes.
This and that,
oh
and
God.
The scenery. Once you get to be that good, it's not martial art film anymore. It's like, it should be a history movie,
yeah,
drama.
But you were taking it to another level.
So,
thank you. Right?
But I lost for a long time. Yeah. I just didn't tell you guys. I was lost.
Thank God I was away
James,
doing my surgery.
The other producer, I remember doing a bamboo fight. I was calling him, he was in New York, the other producer, also part of the writing. And I said, talking about Li Mu Bai, this Hamlet kind of couldn't make decision, da, 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 da. And he got really mad at me. He said, "And you're doing a genre that's like Drunken Master. Just remember you don't end up doing Drunken Hamlet."
Like, I was lost for a long time, but thank you for trusting me.
Oh, absolutely.
And help me.
Thank you for telling me now.
The buoyancy, the security is watching you guys just because you are real people. You devote real emotions. That's what I can hang on to. Just
yeah,
see
but
what
you,
works.
You
actors help me out. They think it's the other way around. A lot of the time, us guys, we're watching you just see what we're going to do next.
You intimidated Chow Yun-fat, and not a lot of people can do that. I remember the first day, first night, you remember he came down the wire and he had to step off. It's not easy to do wire work. And Chow, bless his heart, he's much better with guns. I think this was his first martial arts film. So every time
he came off.
I was
told he's afraid of a gun, actually. He
just yeah.
That's why he looks so tough.
That's why he has the glasses. No, but he would stumble. And I think it got to about 30-something takes.
29.
Oh, was it only 20? Are you
29.
Sure it was only 29?
Yeah, it was 29, I remember.
And I never forget that Chow turned around and said, can you give me some face, please? There's a lot of people watching. I never get to 29 days, you know? Just move, let's move on. But you made him look really good.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
He never done martial art film.
He struggled
with the Mandarin. We both, my God. I mean, he's a Cantonese speaker, so Mandarin just did not roll off that tongue. We both would go into the lessons like bright and chirpy, and both of us would crawl out. And then he, because Aang was so specific about, if you look at the costumes, they were authentic. I swear to God, he would sometimes come up, touch it and smell it and make sure there was no polyester or nylon and anything, not of that time. No makeup, like very, very little. And I remember our makeup artist like, don't care about the director. You have to put a little bit, otherwise you look sleepy.
What bothers me is this losing hairs. Michelle looks good with that losing hair. It's like, you can't. It's improper back then. It's a Qing dynasty. You have to go there.
And poor Chow, because Chow loves to eat. So in this movie, he wanted him to be a little bit more slim so that, you know, he'd be more elegant looking. Every time Chow would do that to take some food, you know what his action was? We were like, maybe he was just he didn't know he was doing it, but it happened, and Chow would go, oh, okay. So funny. And then Chow, in the John Woo movies, you always see him with a cloak, right? I mean, a jacket, a long jacket, with shoulder pads. You know, in those days, you don't have shoulder pads, right? So he had this, like, muslin top. And poor Chow, bless him, he has got very narrow shoulders. And he's a little bit long. So he would come up to him and go, you're lopsided, you know? And Chow would go, and in the end, you could see the poor guy who was just sitting there going. And I would never forget, there was one particular scene where we were talking about asking the guests to leave so that it was safe for them, and he wanted him to emphasize that word. So there he is, trying to be square, not lopsided, trying to memorize his shu 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 guo yu. And then at this word, smack the table. I have never seen Chow, an award winner, be so lost. You think you were lost?
I thought it's very common men get lost, and we're looking at women that's more decisive. We're looking for direction, actually.
Oh, for sure. We women were definitely.
That's in my life and also in all my movies. Women are the ones who make decisions. And men just could not make up their mind, and they drive women crazy.
You're just
so how do you deal with Chow Yun-fat's character? I remember this woman, script supervisor, one day, saying, why? Oh, man's like this. And she started to cry. And she started to cry. I don't know what her life experience was, but she just watched Chow Yun-fat and say, why men always like this? So that's why she is the, because she's the decision maker in the movie. She carries the movie.
Yeah, I remember you said, I'm the spine of your
film.
Trying
to find his balance.
But he had to be, like, faithful and loyal to the word. Otherwise, you know, why would this woman be so devoted to him? So we.
That's
we
just how he looks.
Yeah. I mean, he was good.
Usually,
looking.
A decisive, sharp woman will fall for this kind of guys. I know that. I'm kind of benefit from that too. What happened after? I mean, after Crouching Tiger, I thought that's like the best thing ever for Michael. You're not gonna top this, and the filmmakers community, they're all like. I remember you told me, Francis Coppola told me, I remember the year of Godfathers. You know at the time, it's not going to be like this anymore. This is the peak. And we're telling each other, this has to be the peak. This has to be the peak, a peak for her. Like, we don't even care where we go from here. This is like, feels so good. So what after Crouching Tiger, then it's like, we haven't
seen
nothing yet. It's just scratched
so
the surface.
Good. Right?
No. What's
I mean, because
after
it
that?
Was a That's great cool. statement for Asian films, like Chinese directors and Chinese actors. It was a great, great moment for us.
I mean, your career, what's next after
Thanks
Crouching Tiger?
Then I went on to do Memoirs of a Geisha. And I think one thing I always remembered, what Ang, whenever we did press conferences or things, and whenever people would say, oh yeah, Michelle Yeoh, the action actress, and he goes like, she's not just an action actress, she's an actress, okay? Just stop right there. Yeah. Very fierce. And I always appreciated that. I think, but it's always very interesting. Every time I do an action film, people would say, don't you want to do more dramatic films? And then when I do a dramatic movie, like The Lady or Memoirs of a Geisha, don't you do any more action movies? I'm like, oh, God. But I've been very lucky. Like last year, I did Star Trek TV Discovery. I know that was. It's a completely different monster. Yeah, and I went on to do Crazy Rich Asians. I mean, yeah. And because Crazy Rich Asians, I was supposed to just do a cameo role. Seriously, it started off as a. It was because in the book. There were so many characters.
You wanted to buy the book at one point. You like really liked the book.
I did because it was a book about Asian people who are not afraid to laugh at themselves and their own silliness. And I think sometimes you cannot take yourself too seriously. So we look at it and we go, ha, 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 that's you, okay? that's me, but that's definitely them. So it was a fun book. It's one of those books that you take on the beach and you go, yeah, I don't have to think about it. But when they approached me to do the film, because the book, the mother, is written very much like the black and white movie, mother-in-laws, like the really mean, like pinch her, you know, and treat her the worst, like worse than a slave kind of thing. And I thought that would be a very unfair statement for the mothers, and especially some of the beautiful mothers and amazing mothers that I know in Hong Kong and in Singapore and in Malaysia. And I remember receiving the script going, no. I mean, this is not on. Then I was ready to turn around and say, if this is the way they want to go, then I would have to step away. So then I Skyped with John Chu. He's pretty amazing. And he talks to himself too. Maybe he was lost. I better go back and ask him. I remember on set, and I suddenly go, who does he remind me of? God, what is going on? But it's in the details. That's where he's very similar to you, is the details. He refuses to let go of the details. That's why his casting was so phenomenal. And he is very persuasive. He understands, and he says, you know, I come from a Taiwanese family. His father is a chef. He has like the family of four kids. And he said every day when it was dinner time, it's like, you know, the grandparents, the aunties, the whatever it is, and then all the little children, you have to wait around. So they're very traditional. And he said to me, if I did the movie, the mother the way it was, the first person to kill me would be my own mother. So please believe me. So I want to trust my director, because nothing is worse than believing someone and then going on the set, or then when things come out and you go, hey, what happened there, right? During the editing or something. But because we agreed that just being the villain was two-dimensional, just one single-sided, and that brought no joy to the balance of the film. So, like, you know, when we talked, when we did Crouching Tiger, remember when I first read the script, I was like, hey, this is not the movie you promised me. I was ready to cry, okay? The Chow Yun-fat character was written like a playboy. And I was like, no? And he said, trust me, because you are my, so this is what I do.
Process.
It's a process. Yeah. Yes. But then you have to trust the person that you think is going to do the right process. So you have to, when you speak to the person, you have to trust your own instincts and your gut feelings as well. Because then I said, I wanted to work with him and I trust him. So I'm going with him. And I did the same thing with John Chu. And then I ended up being, and I remember yesterday when we were in an interview and he turned around and said, when I said that, you know, you will never be enough. He said, your eyes turn black. I'm like, God, that sounds so evil. So here we are. I mean, I've been so blessed. Crouching Tiger, Tomorrow Never Dies, and now Crazy Rich Asians. So I've been riding the tide, and I hope to continue to do so. And I hope I get a chance to work with you again.
All right.
When you're not feeling so lost.
Or when I feel lost again.
Or maybe we should be lost together. That would be fun.
You're lost or you're very happy right now in this award season, just drifting around promotion?
Making the movie is the easiest part. Doing this award season, obviously when you have a movie that has been so impactful and meaningful for so many people, now when I walk down the street, sometimes I get, someone will come up and say, can I hug you and thank you for showing, for letting us see ourselves on the big screen. I think it's happened to a lot of the Asian community, that for so long they've been so invisible. You know, we've been like a token of diversity and very stereotypical kind of roles. I'm lucky I can choose my roles. I can turn around and say, I don't want to be represented like that. I don't want women to be seen in that way. But then there are many actors who have to work for a living and have to pay the rent, and they have really very, very little choice. So I hope, but the diversity and all these kind of things also have to start from the top level. It's not just with us trying to push it. So I'm overwhelmed to see how the tide has changed, how a big difference has made. Honestly, at the first box office weekend, there were a few movies and things that were waiting to be greenlit. If Crazy Ray starts with the C word again, I better do more movies with the word C. If Crazy Rich Asians didn't work, would that have meant that we would have been pushed back and say, oh, you see, nobody wants to see Asian faces on the big screen. But I'm so happy because we have so many incredibly talented, not just in front of the camera, but also behind the camera. We don't ask to be treated like special. We already know we are special. We just want to be, we just want to be given equal opportunities, you know? Why should the role always have to define by color or by race, and why does it always have to be like that? I think sometimes the best thing when I get a script and the producer will say to me, it's written for a man, but we change it. It should be like that. We should be given an opportunity to play the roles that we are capable of.
Well, I think... I'll say this, I've been doing this professionally for nearly 30 years, and I wanted to be a filmmaker since, like, for 40 years. From what I could see, things did change a lot for the better.
Thank you.
Yeah, it does change for the
because
better.
Because he's very honest. I'm very, he would tell me the truth.
So we've been very lucky to be part of the wave, like long waves after waves.
Oh, you have been the one who's been pushing the waves nonstop, right? Nonstop. Seriously.
Michelle, I just want to congratulate you for not only this movie, but a long, sustaining, very fruitful career. That means not just for you or friends like us, but for Asian and to the world audience. It meant a lot to us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And congratulations on the movie.
Thank you. my inspiration. And one of the reasons why I know I can never be a director, because I can never be so dedicated like that. To be a great director, you don't have a life. You only have a film. Whether you're lost or not, you will find a way.
I do have a life. I have a wife who loves you.
I adore his wife. I think I see more of Jane than I see of him. Because you're always
Michelle
working.
People watch her like, I don't know what it is. I don't think God is fair. Somebody just has that. Somebody that doesn't matter how hard they try. I shouldn't say that. But Michelle has that. It's just like, people around the world, I've seen that. That thing. You're lucky to have that, and also you're lucky that people who love you so much. It's a blessing. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for doing this, Ang. I can't believe it. And thank you, Michael. Thank you, Moment. Thank you so much.
Thank you, the museum.